It seemed ages since Captain Carol Bell had shed her unit uniform and escaped on some well-deserved leave. One friend she had longed to check up on was Anna Young. She glanced at the warm sun in the clear blue sky as she waited on Anna's doorstep after ringing the bell. As she heard the door open, Bell noticed two men sitting in a large car on the other side of the road watching her. Realizing they'd been spotted, one pulled a newspaper and made a show of reading it. Familiar with surveillance techniques, Bell wondered who they were watching. Unit staff, even off duty, had to be aware they might be monitored as part of their training. She made a mental note to check if anything was going on in the street. Anna was now at the door. Unlike previous visits, she looked cheerful. Carol! Anna's face broke into a welcoming smile. How good to see you! It's been absolutely ages! You seem to be bearing up well, Bell said. Anna nodded enthusiastically and motioned her friend into the living room before disappearing into the kitchen to make some tea. As Bell looked at the picture of the handsome man on the mantelpiece with a black ribbon crossing the frame, she thought she heard noises from another room, but as Bell moved into the hall, her friend appeared with a tray of tea. Something wrong? Anna asked. Bell nodded to the room opposite. Have you got a pet? Anna's expression was a mixture of smile and frown. Surely you remember Melissa? Bell frowned. My daughter? Anna prompted. Bell was really perplexed. Anna's husband Robert, whose picture she had looked at moments before, had died tragically, shortly after their marriage. They had not had any children. Bell was also certain, even if it had been months since seeing Anna, that she would have been told she had been pregnant. Anna pushed the door to the room open. There, playing quietly at the table with some letters and numbered blocks, was a girl of about 6 or 7 years old. Her head turned slowly towards Bell. There was a strange impassiveness to the girl's pretty face, a pallid waxiness to the complexion, but her eyes glowed with intelligence. Melissa, look, Anna said. You remember Auntie Carol, don't you? The girl did not respond, but slowly turned her head back to her activities. She gets so engrossed in her playtime, Anna sighed happily. I think she's going to take after you, Carol. You were always so intense about things. Belle was flabbergasted. Surely Anna had not adopted, being a single parent. She could understand the aching void in her life that Anna must have felt after Robert died, but this did not seem right. All manner of explanations leapt to Belle's mind. That the girl was actually a friend that Anna was looking after, and she was having a little joke. That Melissa was a goddaughter that she was babysitting. She did not want to think that Anna, unhinged in her bereavement, had abducted a girl. Anna, I don't understand, Belle started, but Anna looked with loving eyes at Melissa. She did not have the heart to say anything. The letters and numbers did not make up any childlike words, but were fragmented into strange sequences. Belle suddenly realized that she was looking at mathematical equations. She's not so good at maths yet, Anna apologized. I certainly can't make out what these sums are. A couple of encyclopedias had been left open. Belle glanced at one, open at an entry about North American Indians. Another had been bookmarked on a page about Australian Aborigines. Surely Melissa was not able to read such detailed books so young. Perhaps she liked the pictures. Maybe we shouldn't disturb her, Anna, Belle heard her own words say. Unsettled, she steered her friend and the tray to the living room, with a feeling she was going to need a very strong cup of tea. Yes, you were quite the bookworm too, weren't you? Perhaps if you have time, you can let Melissa read to you. Anna chuckled as she put the tray on the table. Aren't you going to join us, Melissa? Anna called. There's a cup of tea here for you. Belle was halfway through her second strong, sweet cup of tea by the time Melissa appeared. Slowly, and seemingly shyly, but her eyes still burning with bright intelligence, the girl perched on Anna's lap, hugging her mother for comfort. Anna put her arm around the girl and soothed her hair. She can be a bit wary, can't you, Petal? Anna explained as she kissed Melissa's forehead. Belle became aware that Melissa was staring at her, not the bashful discomfort of an insecure child, but the intense stare that went right through her. Belle was reminded of the Master, the evil hypnotic criminal that Unit had encountered several times. Immediately she recalled her counter-hypnosis training and began going over the phrases that helped her concentrate and fight any mesmerizing influences. A staring match ensued whilst Anna chattered away, oblivious to the battle of wills going on. Slowly, Melissa's eyes lost their inner glow and the girl looked away, disinterestedly. Belle gave an inner sigh of relief, but one which faded quickly at the thought this girl was something fiendish or alien. She had to act. Anna tutted. You've let your tea go cold, Precious. She looked apologetically at Belle. She always was a bit of a finicky eater. Belle looked at the watch. Is that the time? I'm so sorry, Anna. It's been lovely catching up and meeting Melissa again. Anna looked down at Melissa, still tucked under her arm. Give Auntie Carol a big goodbye hug, love. Melissa peered out, the intense glow in her eyes returning. Trying to show a smile, Belle opened her arms and let Melissa come up to her. The girl awkwardly returned the embrace, but as Belle gave Melissa a hug, she could feel how stiff she was. Not like a real girl at all. More like a large doll brought to life, even though she looked like flesh and blood. Seeing that Anna was watching, and not wanting to hurt her friend's feelings, Belle gave Melissa an extra large hug. Her eyes met those of the girl and she sensed something beyond, feeling like she was on the verge of a cliff, looking into the depths of a dizzying, frightening vertigo. In something that looked so human and fragile was a terrifying intelligence, alien and incomprehensible, yet briefly a flicker of something recognisable. Then Melissa was retreating back to her mother. Good girl, Anna crooned to her daughter. Belle could not take her eyes from the strange coupling of mother and foe daughter. Every sense she had urged her to return to unit headquarters and report this, but loyalty and compassion for her friend made her feel like she needed more evidence first. As Belle waved goodbye to Anna, Melissa standing impassively behind her, she had a good idea who to ask. So engrossed was Belle in her turmoil, she forgot about the two men in the car, intently watching her depart.
I thought you were on leave, ma'am. Sergeant Tom Osgood peered over the tops of his glasses at Corporal Belle as she entered the small office. I need something in favour, a bit hush-hush, she explained briefly about Anna and her new strange daughter. Osgood nodded. It does sound like the Autons again. Bit odd to use a young girl, though. Belle bit her lip. Yes, that's why I didn't raise the alarm until certain. We did have a means of detecting them, didn't we? Osgood nodded and disappeared into the technical stores. He emerged a few minutes later with a backpack that was cabled to a handheld meter. It's a brainwave pattern detector. The doctor had set it up when we first encountered the Autons and their controllers, the Nestine. Both recalled the attack years previously, when the alien intelligence arrived on Earth in small artificial meteorites. An intelligence which had an affinity with plastic and could control it as if alive. Shop mannequins had become killers on the streets, shooting down people with weapons hidden in their hands. Belle realised Melissa fitted this resemblance to the Autons all too well. This time, the threat was not only hostile aliens, but a personal one. She wondered how Anna would cope when her fake daughter was taken away or destroyed. She had seemed so happy. Belle asked Osgood to accompany her to operate the brainwave detector. Sat in the back of her car, the sergeant fiddled with the settings as they waited. Belle knew Anna had to be something of a creature of habit and usually went to the shops in the afternoon. She wondered if she would take Melissa with her. The corporal's instincts were rewarded and Anna appeared with Melissa in the doorway. She nodded to Osgood, who aimed the detector surreptitiously out of the car window as they walked away. Belle waited nervously. After a few moments, Osgood held out a strip of paper with a familiar pattern of perfectly right-angled waves, the Nestine brainwave. Only there was a double image to it. Belle asked what it meant. I'm not sure, ma'am. If I didn't know better, I'd say there were two Nestine present. Was Anna an Auton too? Even though the Nestine had used sophisticated Auton duplicates of people in their power during their first invasion, it did not seem possible. Belle knew her friend too well to be deceived. But she did know that the Nestine could influence people, so she pondered if Anna's brainwave was under that influence. Melissa had tried to hypnotise her, she was certain. Perhaps that's why Anna did not question why Melissa never ate or drank, or did anything a human girl would. We'll follow them, Sergeant, Belle decided. As she drove after them, she did notice the large car she had seen earlier pull out and follow at a discreet distance. Parking near the high street, Osgood shed his unit cap and jumper and hoped no one would notice his army green trousers and pale brown shirt. Belle linked her arm to his and they tried to look like an inconspicuous couple out shopping.
There they are,
Belle hissed under her breath as she spotted Anna and Melissa going into a bookshop. They followed discreetly as Melissa looked at books, not for children, but in historical and reference sections. Anna chatted away to her silent daughter, as if answering unspoken questions, as Melissa pointed to various books curiously.
Information for an invasion, Osgood asked under his breath.
Hardly the most accurate or detailed source, Belle replied. Previously, the Nestine had been quite bold in their invasions. The shop dummies and other diversions were clown-faced Autons that had handed out free plastic daffodils, which were deadly killers, spraying a sheath that clung to the face and suffocated people. She shuddered to think what horrible plan they were devising this time. Belle and Osgood followed them as they bought groceries and then walked past a toy shop. Anna pointed at a large doll in the window, about as big as Melissa, and laughed quietly. Melissa shook her head, pulling at her mother to move on. Anna just shrugged. Belle suddenly noticed the doll and stopped. To all intents and appearances, it could have been Melissa stood there on display. The Nestine had tried using killer dolls before. Perhaps this was their plan. Orton children who would strike at unsuspecting foster parents. Osgood could see the terror clear in Belle's eyes. Ma'am, you don't think... Belle went white as a sheet. I do, Sergeant. I think we've seen enough and should report back to unit. Osgood put his hand on her shoulder to show moral support, and they started to head back to the car park when a woman's scream pierced the air. They looked in the direction of the cry and saw a small crowd of people. Surely the invasion had not already started. Anna. Belle's thoughts were of her friend, if Melissa had suddenly turned killer here and now. A dead woman in a busy high street would strike terror and panic into the hearts of the public. But neither unit officer was armed, and they were alone without backup. Belle ran up the street, Osgood close behind. Instead of finding Anna dead, Belle was relieved to find her alive, if distraught. Belle pushed through the small group and hugged her friend. Anna, what's wrong? She looked around. Of Melissa there was no sign. Tears streaked Anna's face. She's gone, Carol! Someone's taken Melissa! Belle gasped. What? Anna's words were now punctuated with sobs. She would never run off. This man asked me for directions, and when I turned back, Melissa had gone. Belle looked over the heads of the men and women, hoping that the Orton girl might still be nearby. Then she saw the large car pulling out of the car park exit, the same one she'd seen earlier. Instinct told her there was a connection. Someone knew of Melissa and had taken her. More Ortons under Nestine control, perhaps? Belle was not sure, but she could not leave Anna and give chase. She tried to see the number plate, but another car obscured the vehicle before it accelerated away out of sight. Osgood pushed his way to her side, and the two of them tried to comfort Anna. Where is she, Carol? Anna was on the verge of hysteria. Where's my daughter? Osgood had no option but to call unit headquarters once he'd retrieved his radio from Belle's car. It did not take long before the brigadier himself appeared at Anna's house. The police sergeant frowned as the officer strode up the front garden path. I was not aware this is a military matter, sir, he said, saluting. Need to know, Sergeant, the brigadier informed him, deciding on his usual cover for alien activity. There are terrorist implications. The brigadier found Belle and Osgood in the living room with Anna. A frown and a very discreet glare from her superior told Belle he was none too pleased about the situation. Corporal Belle, with me if you please. They moved to the room where Melissa had been reading earlier, and the brigadier closed the door. Now, will you tell me what the blazes is going on, Corporal? He said in as loud a voice as he could without being overheard. Belle stood to attention and related the events. She showed the brigadier some of the letters and numbered blocks still arranged with mathematical equations on the table, and concluded with an apology. I'm very sorry, sir. I didn't want to raise the alarm until I was certain. The brigadier knew his aide-de-camp well. I'm sure you thought you acted in the best interests, Corporal. You suspected this girl was taken because she's an Orton? Yes, sir. I'm sure someone else was watching the street. It wasn't until I saw the same car in town that the connection was obvious, if it wasn't our people. The brigadier mulled. You know the Nestines send out Ortons to retrieve their energy units. How long do you think the girl has been here? Several months at most, but things could have been undercover for longer. Belle was interrupted as the police sergeant entered urgently. Sorry to interrupt, sir. He held out an envelope. This just arrived by telegram messenger. It might be a ransom note. The brigadier read it quickly. Quite right, Sergeant. We'll take the matter from here. Your men are no longer required. I'm sure your station will debrief you. Thank you for your time on the matter. Dismissed. The sergeant looked stunned at the dismissal, but saluted and left. What is it, sir? Belle asked. The brigadier handed her the telegram. If you want the girl returned, unit will arrange government ransom of £1 million. Stop. Or information concerning the girl's origin will be revealed. Stop. You have 24 hours, then will be contacted for reply. Stop. There's something very wrong here, the brigadier mused. Whoever they are, knew we would be involved. If it's not the Nestine, they at least know this girl isn't human. That begs a whole different set of questions we need to ask. Some miles away, in a large deserted storage shed on a remote farmland, Melissa sat impassively on a wooden chair next to a rough wooden table. In the dark, unlit corner opposite, barring the way out through the shed door, stood a very tall, muscular black man, arms folded. Another man sat in the window, puffing a cigarette. I reckon your mum's probably got our message by now, he said. Of course, you could save us all a lot of bother if you decide to tell us what we need to know. Like, where you're from, what your intentions are. Melissa just looked at him blankly. The man hefted a large case from the floor onto the wooden table and opened it. From a file, he flicked open a document. No birth certificate, no adoption papers. Your mum really pulled a miracle out of the hat there. Didn't you think someone would notice eventually? Seems he didn't know enough about us before deciding to be the cuckoo in the nest. The man's face hardened. There are people I know who would very much like to talk to you. Very influential people. We can do it the easy way if you'd be more willing. Melissa's expression did not change. Or we can do things the very hard, very nasty way. The man pulled out a small cylinder of compressed gas and a Bunsen burner from his case and set them up on the table. Connecting them, he switched the valve on the cylinder and lit the Bunsen with the end of his cigarette. The flickering yellow flame made eerie patterns of light on Melissa's face. I don't know if you feel pain, little girl, the same way we do. That body ain't indestructible. If it's flesh, it'll burn. If it's synthetic plastic, perhaps... Melissa's eyes glowed, responding to the word. It'll melt. Or maybe we can cut off a limb or two. You won't look so pretty after. If that means anything to you. For the first time, Melissa looked her kidnapper directly in the eye. Her face twitched into an expression that was not pleasant. The man sneered. So, got your attention at last. What's it going to be, then? Belle was still trying to comfort Anna in her living room. The Brigadier felt helpless with the women concerned and left them to it. He found Osgood with the brainwave detector in the hallway. Problem, Sergeant? Sergeant's face was one of amusement. I'm not sure, sir. I wanted to run some tests in the hope that the detector might locate the Autumn, but its range is limited. The thing is, though, I'm still getting a reading. Does this mean the girl's close? Osgood looked at the printout. This pattern is not identical to the nesting, but it's very similar. So is she still under its influence? We've seen that before. Osgood shook his head. I'm more of a technical man than a psychologist, but if you want my opinion, that is Mrs. Young's normal brainwave pattern. Very similar, almost sympathetic, if you like, to the Nestine brainwave. Not a great deal of help, then, at the present time. Sorry, sir. I'll persevere trying to boost the range. You do that, Osgood. I just wish there was something I could do, besides wait. The man held Melissa's tiny wrist in his strong hands, but the girl's arm refused to budge nearer the Bunsen flame. Strong little mite, ain't you? He nodded to his massive companion, and the tall, muscular black man grunted, towering over Melissa and pushing her arm closer to the heat of the gas flame. The man twisted the Bunsen when the flickering yellow flame became a cone of fierce blue light. Feel like talking yet? Still not too late. Melissa's face still had the unpleasant expression. The black man's strength was as it had been when he seized her, and despite the superior strength the girl had, he had managed to restrain and bundle her into the car. The glow in her eyes started to get brighter. The man whipped out a pair of sunglasses from the case. I was warned you might try something like that. Polarized filters. You won't find me as much of your pushover as your mum. The black man forced Melissa's arm close to the flame. The pale skin started to deform, discolour and blister like melting plastic. The other man took a drag on his cigarette. So, want to talk yet? The pink pout of her mouth started to move. The man nodded to his mate and Melissa's arm was moved away from the flame slightly. Got anything worth listening to? Or shall I let him finish the job? Melissa's mouth opened slowly. He leaned close and flicked on his compact dictaphone to record the conversation. Melissa's expression now became intense as it let out one word in a terrible need. A localized sonic boom in the disguise of a child's cry.
Mummy!
Anna suddenly shot to her feet, startling Belle. Melissa! Belle looked up and held Anna. What is it? Anna's face was a mixture of distress and awe. Melissa, she's in danger. Belle tried to sit Anna down. Yes, we know. We're doing everything. No, you don't understand. She's in terrible danger. Right now. Anna's gaze became distant, seeing things beyond normal sight. The Brigadier burst into the living room, Osgood at his shoulder. What's going on? Anna looked at him distantly. Two men. A dark place. Fire. Threats. The Brigadier looked at Belle for an explanation. Does she usually have visions like this? Is she psychic? Belle frowned. Not in the time I've known her, sir. A chittering sound from the hall made Osgood turn, and he moved out of the living room to find the source.
Mummy!
The man covered his ears, shock on his face as his sunglasses fell. His tall mate staggered under the pounding to his hearing. Melissa pulled her arm from the black man's hands that held her. The other man moved to hold her, but Melissa's eyes glowed and he went rigid, immobilised. The black man tried to recover as Melissa staggered towards the door, blocking her path. The girl's eyes glowed again, but he lunged at her, holding her shoulders fast. This time Melissa was prepared. The small hands dug her fingers hard into his wrists with a tiny grip of steel. Blood started to drain her hands as inhuman pressure was applied. The black man's eyes squinted in pain and pulled back, trying to nurse the lacerations with a whimper. Before he could do anything, Melissa had smashed the shed door and was staggering outside. Another animal snarl and a rapid movement caught her by surprise. A large dog was on a long chain by the door. It pounced, teeth digging into one arm. He was surprised to find not flesh in its jaw, but something hard that did not yield easily. Whilst the dog snarled, biting harder, Melissa hit it hard on the side of the head. Yelping, the dog let go and cowered on the ground. Unsteady on her feet, Melissa turned slowly, as if getting her bearings. All round her were fields, mud and trees. Behind her, in the shed, were the sounds of men starting to come to their senses. Melissa took one last brief turn, and unerringly, if unsteadily, made a beeline in the direction of Anna Young's home. Oscar came back into the living room, detector in hand. Meter's gone wild, sir. Can you get a bearing? The Brigadier asked. Osgood turned. Northeast, range indeterminate. That's about as best I can do, sir. Good enough for me, Osgood. You man the detector, I'll drive. The Brigadier nodded at Corporal Bell. You stay with Mrs. Young, he smiled at the woman. Don't worry, we'll find your daughter. But Anna was not having any of it. I don't know exactly where she is, but she's hurt and needs me. I think I can sense where she is. The Brigadier hesitated. If Melissa was being held by ruthless kidnappers, the last thing he wanted to do was put the woman in harm's way. But Anna had already shrugged on her coat, pushing past him to the door. I'd say you won't take no for an answer then, the Brigadier sighed and followed with Bell and Osgood. Brigadier at the wheel, Unit Land Rover shot along the main road, away from the town and into the countryside. Any more signals, Osgood? He shouted above the noise of the engine. The sergeant just gestured generally ahead. Behind them, Bell looked at Anna. Turn right here, Anna suddenly yelled. The Brigadier spun the wheel and the Land Rover screeched down a small road. Bell, get some more men down here. Tell them to close in and use our location as a centre. Bell pulled out her walkie-talkie and shouted into it. Jupiter to trap.
Melissa struggled through the rough tangled bushes, hearing the approaching sound of her two pursuers behind. Her small size meant she was able to wriggle through several yards of undergrowth, something the much bigger men were incapable of. Looking back, she saw the silhouette of a large black man trying to break through the branches with little success, his smaller associate behind him with the large dog. At last, she crawled free of the catching undergrowth and started off across the clearing. The walkie-talkie crackled.
Greyhound 2 to Jupiter, over.
Bell clutched at the radio, hoping for good news. Jupiter, you're receiving?
Captain Yates here. We're at the north end of Harchester Farm. We spotted some movement in a field. A couple of men with a dog. They fled when challenged and drove off. Looks like there's a shed at the far end of the field. Over.
Bell looked at the map spread over her lap. Greyhound 2, liaise with Greyhound 4 and give details of the car to them. They might be able to head them off. We'll rendezvous with you at the junction of Carminster Road and Walmington Lane. Over.
Greyhound 2 receiving. Over and out.
The unit Land Rover screeched to a halt beside the old shed. A quick inspection revealed the shattered door and the smell of cigarettes told them it had not been used too long ago. Two sets of large footprints in the mud, plus those of a large dog with a much smaller set clearly belonging to a child. Tire tracks of a recently departed car. The Brigadier looked at the tracks leading from the shed, across the field to distant trees, and compared that with the map. That's back towards the main road in town. Let's hope we're first there. Anna nodded, her sensing and Melissa agreed with his decision. With his small entourage, the Brigadier jumped behind the wheel, and the Land Rover turned back down the lane. They approached where Melissa's beeline would intersect with the main road, and to Belle's surprise, the large car was pulled over to the other side of the road. But as she pointed out to the Brigadier, it drove off at high speed and disappeared around a bend at the sight of the approaching unit vehicle. Instead of giving chase, the Brigadier slowed to a stop. Greyhounds 2 and 4 should get them further up the road, he turned to Anna. Any sense of Melissa? He glanced at Osgood for any technical information. The sergeant shook his head. Anna looked out at a thick tangle of bushes on the other side of the road. Close, I think. Perhaps we should drive further along, the Brigadier suggested. Melissa, Anna suddenly cried out. She clambered down from the Land Rover and ran across the road. Something dark had emerged from the bushes and was stumbling towards them. About the size of a child, clothes and face matted with dirt. At the sound of Anna's voice, the small figure raised its arm and began walking faster along the grass verge towards them. There was a distant, growing roar of an engine. A sports car came speeding around the bend towards them, headlights on. The Brigadier got out and yelled a warning. So did Bell. Things happened almost too fast to comprehend. He saw Melissa's head turn towards the car, bearing down towards Anna, and back towards her mother, eyes glowing. Melissa turned swiftly into the path of the car, arms still raised just to stop it. The car swerved slightly, but still smashed into the girl. Incredibly, the car careered to one side as if hitting a bollard, but still knocking her savagely into the roadside. There was a sickening crack as Melissa's head smashed against the curb. The Brigadier dived at Anna in rugby tackle, pushing her out of the swerving car's erratic path, and twisting himself under her so he cushioned her fall as she screamed. The sports car did not slow, continuing on past the Land Rover. Belle thought she caught a glimpse of a black man huddled in the passenger seat. Then it was gone, roaring away with the driver's foot flat on the accelerator pedal. Anna shook herself free from the winded Brigadier and ran crying and screaming to the figure sprawled on the roadside. Belle ran to join her, finding Anna sobbing and cradling the broken doll of Melissa's body in her arms. Melissa's eyes were half open, her cracked face pale and impassive under the stain of mud. There was a coarse whisper from the girl's lips, as if a doll's voice box were not working properly. Then the doll-like eyes closed. Kneeling, held by Carol Bell in a hug of meaningless solace, Anna threw her head back and screamed her tearful grief into the air. A short time later, the unit mobile headquarters van was led through the police barrier to park behind the Brigadier's Land Rover. Bell led a shivering, shocked Anna, wrapped in a blanket, to its less cramped interior. The police had found the large car abandoned in a country lane, a short distance before they'd have run into the waiting unit roadblock. Another car had been left for them to switch to. Whoever the kidnappers were, they were well prepared, and even better informed on unit procedures. The Brigadier instructed Osgood, heading the unit retrieval team, to take Melissa's body to the mobile headquarters as well. Obviously, he could not let the police or forensics team examine what was, to all intents and purposes, a rather realistic-looking doll. The shattered figure had been largely kept together by her dress, anorak and tights. For the sake of Anna Young, he asked the soldiers to treat Melissa as if they would respectfully carry the body of a dead child. Osgood lay Melissa on a small examining bench in the vehicle, watched by her tearful surrogate mother, and covered her with a blanket. Anna moved to the bench and softly stroked the hair of Melissa, who had been cleaned up as much as possible. She gave a start as Melissa's eyes slowly opened and the head turned slightly towards her. The girl's eyes glowed softly, and Anna's face lost all emotion, mesmerised. For all her training, the emotion of the last hour was almost too much for Belle, as she saw the whole body of Melissa Orton start to quiver like pink blancmange. Just the two glowing eyes remained in the strange transformation. "Sir?" Belle stuttered. Unsure what to expect, the Brigadier slowly drew his gun. Finding his voice, he commanded, "I demand you stop whatever you're doing to Mrs. Young, or I'll shoot." The eerie soft plastic in the shape of the 7-year-old girl finally solidified once more. Melissa was whole again, unharmed. She sat up slowly, and the impassive face turned towards the Brigadier. The moulded pink lips moved to approximate speaking. It was a voice, devoid of human emotion and inflection, neither male nor female. Something beyond words, struggling to use them to communicate.
"We seek only sanctuary with this human female."
Melissa's eyes continued to hold the entranced Anna as the focus of attention. The Brigadier could not help but aim his pistol at the Orton girl. "Why should I permit that?"
"It has protected us, and we have protected her. She will not remember these recent events. This orb is beyond the range of the Nestian consciousness, and will be for some considerable time. We have been separated from it, and we seek to survive until then."
"You've shown yourself to be hostile to us on more than one occasion," the Brigadier countered.
"The Nestian expand and colonize worlds. On the time spent on this orb, we have learned much about humankind. The Australian Aborigines, the native North and South America, the Africa. Whole societies nearly wiped out as one faction of your species expands and colonized the lands occupied by another."
Mrs. Gaze was emotionally fixed on the Brigadier now.
"Is what the Nestian does so very different to what humankind does to its discordant self?"
The Brigadier noticeably flinched at the accusation. "We don't claim to be perfect."
"Nor do the Nestian. We are ahead of you in evolutionary terms by millions of years. As far ahead of you as you might consider insects or less. Yet all our needs remain similar. A place to exist. To be part of a greater whole. To have purpose. To survive."
The Brigadier nodded slowly, seeing the alien point for once. "I ask again, though. Why should I permit you to stay on Earth, let alone with Mrs. Young?" Melissa fixed her gaze on the mesmerised Anna, who moved to her surrogate daughter, an alien in the form of a girl, and held her compassionately.
The impulses in her were of this unit, a loss, a need.
Belle remembered the funeral of Anna's husband and piped up, "I think it's lonely, sir."
Corporal?
When I visited Anna, I could sense the alienness in Melissa, but also something else I could relate to. It's afraid, it's lost, as many of us would be on an alien planet. I know how Anna felt when she lost her husband. I think this nesting feels something like that. She touched Anna's arm. Only, it doesn't have any friends to feel that loss. No one at all. Melissa looked at them as Anna stroked her hair softly, still oblivious to all but her child.
This unit does not judge your species. It has good and bad. This unit has experienced both. In return for sanctuary with its female, we have offered protection. Having learned this need for exchange among humankind, and given her a daughter she will never have had. One that will never grow old nor abandon her.
Melissa looked hard at the Brigadier again.
In your words, we do not claim to be a perfect solution, but it proved mutually adequate until we were recognized.
The girl's look fixed on Belle, who looked slightly guilty.
At a point in time as yet unreached, humankind and Nestine will encounter each other again. We offer things in exchange for continued sanctuary. To speak for humankind to the Nestine, and to reach a mutually acceptable understanding. Would you rather the Nestine were ally than hostile? That is not beyond possibility. The other offering is a warning. This daughter is not your enemy. It is merely a plastic facsimile, one that was convenient and adapted to more resemble one of you. The human female found us in a place of exchange and acquired it.
Belle recalled the doll in the window that looked like Melissa. She could imagine Anna wishing for a child to look after, something to give her widow life purpose again, and the Nestine's intelligence harboured in the doll, sensing Anna's thoughts as it sat in the shop shelf, the lone survivor of a failed invasion. Mutual needs. Melissa continued.
As there were once those humans who colonized and wiped out others to satisfy their own needs, there are still those who seek mutual gain, not for territory or land. There is a new need we do not comprehend. Look to your own human. Recognize the true danger. Now the words and the decisions concerning us are for you. This communication is ended.
The Brigadier was at a loss for words momentarily. Then he found his voice again. The question was obvious. What do you mean? Anna came out of her trance to see the Brigadier glaring at her daughter, who hugged her mother back. Melissa's face was an impassive mask again. The Nestine refugee had spoken once to humanity, and once only, to state its case and ask asylum. Sir, I think you should agree, Belle said quietly.
Do you realise what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Do you realise what it was saying? The Brigadier nodded. Only too well, Corporal. Only too well. He looked at Melissa, huddled in her mother's arms, a widow whose life had been torn apart by kidnapping and a second death, as she perceived it. A death which had now not happened. But if they took the Auton girl from Anna, the effect would be as bad. Now he knew why Belle had made her comment. It was not the most rational of decisions, but perhaps it was the most human. Very well, I agree. But you realise in the light of these events that we will have to put a protective watch on you both, in case this happens again. Almost imperceivably, the Brigadier and Belle saw Melissa nod in acceptance. The moulded pink pout of her mouth quivered in a facsimile of a smile and gratitude. As arrangements were made to return Anna and Melissa home, under a secret watch which would never end, Corporal Belle moved close to her superior and thanked him quietly. The Brigadier frowned. I only hope I made the right decision. There was an inkling of a smile as well. I suppose the Doctor would be proud of me, eh, Corporal? Possible peace with the Nestine? Will you tell him, sir, when he returns? The Brigadier shook his head. What the Doctor doesn't know needn't harm him, Belle. Now, how about some tea? An officer could go thirsty around here. With a smile, Belle saluted and went to boil some water in the mobile headquarters' small galley. Left alone in the compact operations room, the Brigadier frowned, mulling over what Melissa had said. and the deep implications that held for him and the future.